please don't relent, especially now that we are heading into the festive period. Most people lose their fire towards the end of the year, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the consciousness that is created in the atmosphere is a consciousness of festivity, and the consciousness of festivity provokes a sense of pleasure, an awareness of pleasure. And whether you like it or not, these things impact on your hormones. They impact on your psychology. You know, especially those of you who are in Europe and the UK and America, you discover that some cities are already being lit up, and it's just celebration night till morning. If you are not careful, it will impact on your consciousness, it will impact on your psychology, and it will water down, you know, a lot, you know, of your vibrancy in the spirit. Secondly, because it's a time of festivity, it will also provoke a lot of lewdness. It will provoke a lot of immoral activities, because our world is so decayed that people think happiness, joy, celebration should always be tied with immorality. And so you are going to be interacting with a lot of energy, immoral energy, because of the festivity that is in the air. People will be traveling for holidays, people will be going to beaches, and, you know, all kinds of things. Some people will just want to do what they've not done before. So you will see all kinds of things. So the first thing is that the consciousness of festivity can reduce your spiritual temperament or your spiritual vibrancy or fire. And then the activities that will become commonplace, which most times is coated with lewdness, nudity, and immorality, can also affect you, because you will see and hear. And then number three, demons carry out a lot of their activities towards the end of the year, and mostly the beginning of the year. Why is that so? Because they know people make a lot of decisions, lifelong decisions. You see that towards the end of the year, beginning of the year, that's where you start hearing things like resolutions. You start hearing things like all of these things, because they know people are about to make decisions. So they are going to become more aggressive to influence the decision the people make, because they know it's going to affect their actions for some months. You see that? So there's a lot of turbulence in the spiritual atmosphere. So you cannot afford to live carelessly at this time. So it's important for you to watch your heart, guard it with all diligence. The Bible says, out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. And it's also important for you to learn to build spiritual culture and patterns around your operations, especially at this time. And this is where most of the things we've exposed you to will come handy. Maintain your fasting routine, maintain your study routine, maintain your prayer routine. Don't allow anything alter the delicate balance of your soul at this time. Because of this, I want to give you three very simple but vital counsels that, if applied, will help you to maximize the season. Number one, be deliberate to show love. Be deliberate to show love. Why is it important? Love is the nature of God, and love is the energy of God that kills every other negative energy. So as much as it's within your power, your friends, your family, your loved ones, show them love. Now, how do you show love? You show love by being kindly, affectionately, disposed towards people. So in your speakings, in your actions towards people, make sure that there's a lot of love in it. Number two, you show love by gifting people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. So you show love by gifting people. And so this is the time for you to really show love to people. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So gift things to people. You can give them things, whatever it is, but by all means, give them Christian materials, things that will impact their eternal destiny. So you can buy somebody a Christian book, you can give somebody a Christian message, and of course, you can also give them material things. There's nothing wrong in giving somebody clothing or what to wear, you know, and all of that. Just show love to people. That's the first aspect. The second aspect in showing love is ensure to forgive everybody that has offended you. I know that a lot of people do that as a part of resolution for end of the year, but I'm not telling you to do that necessarily because it's the end of the year, but because God is the one who ordained seasons for humankind. And so this is a cycle. And because it's a cycle, you're about to initiate a new cycle. You can't go with burdens. The Bible said to lay aside every weight and every sin that doth easily beset us. Does it not shock you that the same way sin limits us, that's how weights also limit us? So it's not only sin that limits you or limits your potential as in God. There are weights that can limit you, and most of that is unforgiveness. You see, so as much as it's within your power, forgive everybody that's hurt you. If you need to spend time in prayer, ask the Lord to help you to let go, do it. When you forgive people, you are not forgiving them because they deserve it necessarily. Most of the times, they will not deserve it. You forgive people, number one, because of your relationship with God. Jesus was speaking, he said, if you take a gift to the altar and your brother has an ought against you, he said, leave that gift on the altar and go make peace with him first. So if you don't make peace with people around you, it may affect your relationship with God. The Bible speaking about the husband, he said he should deal with the wife with understanding so that his prayers are not hindered. The Bible speaking about family, 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, I guess, he said, a man who cannot provide for his household, he said he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So our interaction with people has a way of affecting our interaction with God. Number two, you are forgiving them for your own mental health sake. Listen, the pressure that comes with animosity, malice, gossip, you don't need those things. Just throw those weights away. Throw them away as quick as possible. You need clarity of vision at this time. God is speaking to his children about the coming year. You don't need anything to interfere with your frequency. God is giving people graces for the assignment and for the operation of the kingdom for next year. You don't need anything to put you out so that you are coming to try to catch up around April, May, June, when the year is already finishing. You see, but the way you get yourself at the front line is to make sure you alight yourself of unforgiveness and bitterness towards anybody. They don't even deserve it. They may not even deserve it. But because of your relationship with God, because of your mental health, and because of the graces that you may deny yourself of, if you do not forgive, you cannot not but forgive. So please, as much as it's in your power, show love. The second thing you must do in this season, and do deliberately, is to make sure that you are aggressively involved in soul winning. You will discover, I'm telling you, as you look around this season, you are going to discover that the devil will be doing a lot of recruitment programs this year, this period. You see, most of you who are in Europe, you already see what's going on. You see people doing all kinds of rituals, calling it all kinds of names. And then you know these things are demonic. You see people invite people for all kinds of parties, all kinds of programs, all kinds of excursions, all kinds of camp meetings, all kinds of holidays. And you know all of these programs are recruitment programs because they know at this time the hearts of men and the souls of men are porous. So you also must be deliberate. Don't just while away time. Make sure you are actively involved in soul winning engagements now. And of course, I've taught you before, there are three ways of engaging in soul winning. The first way to engage in soul winning is to go out and talk to someone. Especially for those of you who are not in nations where interacting with people is limited or restricted by legal forces. Make sure you talk to somebody about the love of God. Make sure you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. You don't need to be a theology graduate to do that. Just tell people your story. Tell people the faithfulness of God in your life and tell them Jesus is the only way to God and see what God does. But by all means, be out there talking to people. The second way to win souls, I told you, is to pray for souls. Is to pray for word evangelism. Is to pray. The Bible said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into his field, into his vineyard. In Colossians 4:12, you say, Epaphras is one of you, praying fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So when we pray, it affects souls. So just in case, especially those of you who are in nations where you cannot go out to win souls, make sure you devote time to pray for souls. Pray. There are many naive people. There are many gullible people. There are many weak people. And listen, for some of these people, the devil has already marked them to be killed this period. So you hear that some people are shot. They were just walking in an alley, or they were part of a meeting, they went for a clubbing, and they were just shot. Because a lot of sacrifices go down at this time. So pray for the souls of men. Pray for the safety and preservation of the children of God. Don't just relax. Be part of the army that God is using. See, when we talk about God's army, it's not to go and start a movement necessarily or to join a church. When we talk about God's army, they are the people God can rely on when he wants to do something in a city, in a territory, in a nation, or in a generation. So there may be no physical movement, as it were, but God has a very strong army. That's how kingdom works. You see, so many people assume when you're talking about God's army, oh, maybe a revival campaign begins, or a church is doing a program. Oh no, it's deeper than that. Being part of God's army is that God can rely on you, especially in strategic seasons, to advance his kingdom, both at individual level and at corporate level. And one of the ways you get yourself vitally fused into God's army is to spend time praying for souls.
Spend time, most of the hour of prayer at these times. Pray for souls. Pray for the souls in your neighborhood. Pray for the souls in your family. Pray for the souls in your nation. Ask God to encounter them. Ask God to open their hearts to hear the gospel, to receive the gospel with meekness. Ask God to send preachers, to send laborers to them, those who carry the gospel of the kingdom. Ask God to create those opportunities for these people to meet them and to speak to them the word of the Lord. These are the things you should do with your time at this period. Be actively involved in soul winning campaign through prayers. The third way you get involved in soul winning campaign is by giving towards it. Listen, we must become very strategic in the kingdom. Again, most of you who are either highly placed in society or who are involved in a lot of things and know how things work, you know what I'm talking about. There are many people around the world at this time who will give money to sponsor camp meetings where youth are going to be disflowered, to lose their virginity. Many people give money to sponsor it. Many people give money for programs on the beach and all of that. Many people give money, and I'm talking about millions of dollars. Most of the activities you see happening around the world, it's not free. People pay for it. People who know the agenda of the spirit that they represent, they pay for it. There are many programs that will result in initiation, that will result in perversion, that will result in immorality, rituals that will be sponsored by many people. In the same vein, look out somewhere where people, genuine people that God leads you to, that you believe in, are running such programs. Give towards it. And if you are in a territory where nobody is running any program, listen to me, be bold, organize something. You can call people to come do a sit out in the garden and tell your friends who believe in it to give. Put the money together, organize it. Even if nobody is preaching, just get some sound system, play gospel music, and as they sit down, give them fruits, give them a drink. And it's just an evening night out, and they are just there listening to the gospel, listening to music. And when they are done, you just tell them, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. You'll be amazed the impact it will have on someone. So if you're in a place where nothing like that is happening, organize something. Get young people together, 5 hours, 3 hours, pray, share the word of God. Go to a beach somewhere where people are doing what they're doing. Of course, for strong believers, put a tent there, blast worship songs, get people to do something that can get people to the Lord. Be active. Don't be inactive at this time. There are many agents that will be out there working for the interest of their master and the spirits that they give allegiance to. You cannot afford to be docile. This is a sensitive season. Make sure you are out there winning souls, either by talking to people or by giving towards it or by praying. Very important. And then finally, my third counsel for you is to make sure you embark on a retreat. If the activity before Christmas is too much, enjoy your Christmas, spend some time, enjoy yourself. After Christmas, take 2-3 days, organize a retreat. You can go in alone with God for 3 days. It's very important to do that now, because when God speaks, you may not hear. There may be a lot of interferences that you will not do away with, either because of the clog of anxiety or the challenges of life or even the happiness of the season. So you've got to create that time where you go to the Lord. You can do a study retreat where you are locked away for 2-3 days, just studying. You can do a prayer retreat where you are praying. You can do a fasting retreat, and you can combine all together where you are studying, praying, talking to the Lord, and fasting for a particular hour, number of hours in the day. But by all means, make sure there is that period of shutting out before the end of the year. And it's important you do this. When you are doing this, there are 5 major things you must involve. Number one, please take time to appraise your year. See, you are the one who knows how your year, your life is compartmentalized. Check your walk with the Lord. Check your career. Check your relationships. Be deliberate. Don't just live haphazardly. Oh, this year is finished, we are going into the next year. No, haphazard living cannot produce certain levels of results. See, when you see people command results at certain levels, it's deliberate. You can't command certain results if you don't appraise it. So sit down, find out my life. What areas are the major aspects of my life? Write it down and appraise it. What are the mistakes I made? What are the things I should have done in a certain way that I didn't do? It will take days, but do it, because it's awakening your consciousness of excellence, of attention to details, of preparedness for exploit and avoidance of mistakes. So appraise yourself. Now, when you are done appraising yourself for the good things that you have achieved, give God thanks for them. Be deliberate. Most most of us are not ingrates consciously. Most of us are ingrates unconsciously. If our attentions were drawn to it, we would be grateful. But the problem is that we don't remember. Our attention is never drawn to it. And because our attention is not drawn to it, we are never consciously and deliberately thankful. So you've got to sit down, find out, check all the exploits you've made this year, the progress you've recorded, and thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank Him for it. You're acknowledging that He is the one who did it. And as you do that, there'll be more grace released to you. Number three, stay with God until you download strategies for next year. You will see something. You will hear something. You will receive an inspiration. Those who get ahead in life, this is how they do it. You don't get ahead in life casually. Listen, ministers of God may receive a word for their congregation. And trust me, that word can bless you if you are part of that congregation. But you need to understand that that word is for millions of people. It's the degree to which you tap into it that you'll be blessed by it. You've got to receive your own word from the Lord. You've got to receive your own direction from the Lord so that your own word fuses in to the overall word that God has given to the people. That's why you must stay with God. Listen, if you stay with God, He will show you. God was the one that invited us. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, He said, "Ask of me, I will answer." And He said, "I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of." So God is willing to show, but will you have the time? This is why you've got to lock yourself away. Fight every distraction, kill every distraction. Spend time with God until you receive a knowing, until you receive a vision, until you receive an instruction. By all means, don't go into next year without receiving signals from heaven. And then number four, when God shows you something, be deliberate. Ask for grace. Believe me, God can show you something and you make the mistake of thinking you will do it. If you don't ask for the grace, you'll be in trouble. Listen, when God told us to win 5 million souls, at first I thought it was a joke. It's when we sat down to look at the strategies and the modalities that I knew it was going to demand a lot of grace. Every rural crusade we organized, we spent between 4.5 million to 6 million. That's about $6,000. And we have to organize over 30 of such crusades. The evangelists we mobilize on a weekly basis, we give each of them 100,000 naira. That's about $1,000. That's about $100, right? Now, every week we mobilize 3 to 5 people. So that's between $300 to $500 every week. And we've been doing it without relenting. Now, every apostolic invasion we organize, the ones in Africa, in one environment, one territory, cost between $30,000 to $40,000. And the one in the UK cost over $150,000. So, as touching soul winning alone, we spent over $700,000 this year. So, salvation is free, but preaching the gospel is very expensive. So, when God said, "Win 5 million souls," I had to go back and pray for the grace. Now, that's on the area of finances. How about the stress? Dear Lord, if you follow me for 1 month, you don't break down, know that there's a special grace on your life. In the last 3 weeks alone, if I tell you my movements, you'll be amazed. In the last 7 days, if I tell you my movement, let me give you an instance, my journey in the last 7 days. I left, let me just touch 6 days. I left for Zambia, and in traveling to Zambia, you fly from Abuja. Okay, let me do 10 days so that I give you a broader picture. In the last 10 to 12 days, I had a meeting in a village called Surinyama in Ghana. It's like 30 minutes drive to Ivory Coast. Now, I was supposed to fly from Abuja to Accra, but somehow the agent made a mistake in our flight ticket, so we couldn't make it. So we had to fly through Lagos. So I flew from Abuja to Lagos, waited 2 hours, flew from Lagos to Accra, waited 1 hour, flew from Accra to Kumasi. We got to Kumasi. We now drove 5 hours to that village. I preached 2 nights. When I finished preaching, I realized I was supposed to leave there for Botswana. But if I get the flight that was 2 hours away, I won't catch the flight in Accra for Botswana. So I finished preaching around 10:30 at night. 12:30, we drove 5 hours back to Kumasi to catch a 7 a.m. flight to Accra so that we could catch the 9:30 a.m. flight to Botswana. When we got there, we discovered they didn't send the visa to my sister. So I had to reschedule the flight to Abuja for the next day and flew from Accra to Lagos and flew from Lagos to Abuja. The next day, I was on the flight back to Botswana. And so I left Abuja the next day, flew 4 hours 30 minutes to Ethiopia, flew another, after 3 hours, flew another 4 hours 30 minutes to Botswana. When I got to Botswana, I drove 5 hours from Gaborone to a city called Francistown. And then I got there by 8 p.m. I mounted the altar by 8:30 and preached in that crusade. The next morning, I drove 5 hours back to Gaborone to catch a flight to Ethiopia. Flew 4 hours, 30 minutes to Ethiopia, slept over. The next day, I flew back to Abuja. That was a Saturday. I went for service on Sunday. I did Tuesday Bible study. On Wednesday, I was going back to Zambia. I was on Qatar Airways. Flew 7 hours to Qatar and then flew another 8 hours to Zambia from Qatar. I preached in Zambia for 2 days. I was supposed to leave that night. There was no flight after midnight. And I needed to come back that Saturday so I would wed one of my sons who was getting married. So the only flight available after 12 was Turkish Airways. I had to board that flight, but unfortunately, they had to fly me to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. That was 5 hours, 20 minutes. They flew me from Dar es Salaam after 1 hour to Istanbul. That was 7 hours. We now moved in 50 minutes to another flight and flew 6 hours to Abuja. I flew another 19 hours. I came to Abuja the next morning. I drove 5 hours to Makurdi to where the young man, and then drove 5 hours back that same day because I had Sunday morning service. As I finished Sunday morning service, on Monday, I was back to Zambia because Monday was 11th because apostolic invasion was for 12th. I went back to Ethiopia again, 4 hours, 30 minutes, and went to Zambia. Preached for 3 nights. I just landed this afternoon, routing Ethiopia and Abuja. Now, if you travel like that, even if you are a military officer, you will break down. Now, I finished talking to you about money. I'm talking to you now about stress, physical stress. Now, imagine combining this physical stress with spending over $30,000 to run the apostolic invasion, and we didn't take offering. As if that's not enough, you are now talking relationship. How about my family? Where do I spend time with my wife and my children? You see, so this thing requires grace. So when God shows you what He will do with you next year, don't run away from His presence. You need to still spend time and pray for the grace. The grace to bet those things, because you may see it and never become it. And this is the problem with many people. They hear God clearly. They see the vision clearly. But there's a distraction that won't allow them fulfill that vision. And they didn't pray for grace to conquer that distraction. There was a disfavor that won't let them receive the resources required for that. And they won't pray for grace. So when God shows you, number 4, make sure you ask for grace. And then when you have asked for grace, number 5, also ask for mind or mental transformation. Because sometimes you may have seen the picture, you may have received the grace, but your mind is locked into your past. And what God wants to do in the future, you don't have the mind capacity to bear it. So you have to ask the Lord, enlarge my vision, enlarge my mind. You may have become a master as a relationship expert, talking to people from church to church. God is now telling you, I want you to address presidents. You need mind transformation to be able to accommodate what God is saying. You see why you need a retreat? It's too important. These things are not things you can get just juggling through the activities of the day. So you need a retreat. It will help you appraise the year you are rounding up. It will give you opportunity to give thanks for the things God has done for you in this year that you are rounding up. It will also help you download strategies for the year you are stepping into. And it will also allow you the opportunity to pray for the grace to fulfill those strategies. And then finally, it will help you to build the mind or mental transformation required in order to make the most. As much as is within your powers, do these things I'm telling you. At least take out 3 days. Stay with the Lord. If you don't have 3 days, take out 2 days. See, there are certain things that you don't need to be prophetic to know. Eschatological studies will show you. Listen, war will continue. Famine will increase. Corruption amongst leaders will increase. Immorality will increase. Wickedness will increase. As we approach the end of the year, the wickedness of men and the evil on the earth will keep increasing. But darkness is not our problem, because our light shines in the darkness. The problem is that if darkness is increasing and our light is not shining bright, then we'll be in trouble. And so when we say there will be evil, there will be wickedness, there will be famine, there will be persecution, there will be war, it's not to threaten anybody. These are normal operations of darkness. But it's to help you build the consciousness of light, because your insurance and your victory is tied to your illumination. The Bible said in John chapter 1 from verse 1
to verse 3. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light. The light was the light of men. And He said in verse 4, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the devil cannot comprehend our operation. But the question is, are we shining? Jesus speaking, He said, let your light so shine. That means you may have light, but you may not let it shine. So God has given you light. It's your duty to let it shine. He said, let your light so shine among men. So you have got to let your light shine. And these are some of the things you will do in order to let your light shine. And it's as your light shines that you eat the good of the land. It's as your light shines that you enjoy safety and invincibility. It's as your light shines that you prosper and make impact. So by all means, you have to let your light shine so that the year coming, while men are cast down, you will say, there's a lifting up. Glory to Jesus. So these are my counsels to you.